Blog Talk Radio.
To Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers. That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Well, welcome to the show tonight, our Thursday night Survivor show.
If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Sherry Garcia. This is the Rad Reality Show Network, and I want to say thanks for coming to hang out with us tonight. This is Thursday, November 6, 2014. We're getting ready to start the Mike and the Mike Show with host Mike Albright, Big Mike Albright, as a matter of fact, and we're getting ready to talk about Survivor San Juan del Sur. If you'd like to talk with us and join us in the conversation, make sure you dial 314-34 237-5506. I'm going to repeat that. 347-237-5506. And remember to press the 1 if you want to come on air with us and chat with us, because sometimes people call and just listen on the switchboard, and we don't know that you want to come up and join us on air if you don't press the 1. So press the 1 if you want to join us. And we want to say hi to Paul in Minnesota before we get this show started, and see what's going on up there in Minnesota. What's up?
Hey, Cherry. Hey, everyone. What was the first number you gave? No, I'm just teasing you. Yeah. 347-237-5506. And if you do push 1, the little computer lady says, you are now in the host queue. Anyway, I'm doing fine. I remember mentioning a couple of shows back that at least we're not supposed to have issues with the polar vortex this year. And what do I see on the news
and
tonight?
And now we're in one.
Well, apparently it's all blamed on this huge hurricane or typhoon in the Bering Sea. But, yeah, we're about ready.
You
should. No, we're about ready to get some cold weather here in about 3 days or so. But otherwise, 15 seconds left in my wild at Ottawa, and we're going to lose 3-0. I'm sure you're happy for that.
Well, like I was saying.
When?
Tarasenko.
You were saying
I'm loving hockey right now.
I
Our
bet
boys
you are.
Are on like a 6-game winning streak, and we just scored again. I'm loving hockey. So
yeah.
Let's bring up. It's early.
It's early.
I know. Well, let's bring up the host of our show, the man who knows about Survivor so much.
Backwards. Upside down.
I know. He, I'm just so honored to have him as our host. He has met so many of the survivors, and gosh, Jeff Probst, and of course, my hero, the man who started it all. So
Paul from Minnesota.
Let's bring him up.
Oh.
No, not Paul from Minnesota.
Mark Burnett.
Mark Burnett. Let's play his intro and get him up on air with us. Here we go, folks.
They have volunteered to be marooned for 39 days. This is their story. This is Survivor.
Superfan, Big Mike. Big Mike,
you're welcome. Welcome to Mike on the Mic. Good to see everybody here. Good to hear everybody again. How's everybody doing? I heard you're getting a polar vortex up north.
Yeah, you're going to feel it, bud. Ohio isn't going to be immune.
Oh, we had plenty of vortexing last time, so I can't even imagine what we're going to get this time. We're just having precipitation and it's cold. But we had a brief snow on Halloween night, but it didn't stick. So we're getting ready.
Have you had snow yet, Cherry?
We have not, but I'm telling you, it's cold enough to snow here tonight. It is cold.
We haven't seen any snow here in Minneapolis yet, so I can't explain that. It just hasn't come. You know, the moisture and the cold haven't come together yet, but we're anticipating some coming up. But anyway.
Yeah, it's freezing here and it's windy. I thought the polar vortex was already here when I walked outside earlier. I mean, it's frigid outside. And, you know, I'm further south than you, Big Mike. I'm down in St. Louis.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this was it was supposed to be an exciting episode, and I thought it started as an exciting episode, but the last 15 minutes were just one of my least favorite things about the show, for sure.
Yeah.
The commercial certainly had us all going. We certainly thought it was heading towards something different, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. For sure. It was supposed to be I thought it would be some epic tribal council where power plays and what did John and Jacqueline decide to do. And we get, which I talked about this in, I posted this in previously on Survivor, the Facebook group we have, but it's the fifth consecutive season where players quit. And I believe the 12th overall quitter, depending on semantics of, you know, a player that never played in Fiji and some of that stuff. But it's just shocking that, you know, somebody else quits the game.
It's so unfair.
I was thinking about that too, and I was thinking about other shows, and certainly, you know, it's tough out there and it's hard to compare other reality shows, but I was thinking how many Big Brother house guests have quit, how many Amazing racers have quit, and I can't think of any.
I'm not familiar. I know in the first race a team get, you know, really far out of place. They knew they weren't going to do well. That's before they kind of caught teams up. Big Brother, yeah, no quits that I'm aware of. There's, you know, a couple banishments, right? There's, what, three people thrown out or four, I think. I'm not a Big Brother expert, but it's something like that many. But, you know, no one that's quit. And when you look at the quitters, it's, it's consistently, you know, females quitting except for two cases. So I don't know what, you know, what's going on with the female cast members. And from what I could gather, they just had a merge feast. The quitter had smuggled a bunch of trail mix out, and we'll talk about that, you know, later in the show. But, you know, the weather didn't appear to be that bad compared to Nicaragua or Redemption Island. So I just don't know, you know, where that came from.
I just, I don't know. Now, you said five seasons somebody has quit. Hasn't at least
five
one
in
of
a row,
those somebody been medevaced in?
Caramoan, you've got, I'm considering Brandon, they voted it a challenge, but that was essentially a quit. And then Dana's up in the air if she's a medical or a quit. You know, I like her to death, but, you know, I don't think the medical team officially said you can't play for hers. She was just in a lot of pain, but it was hard to, you know, determine what was going on with hers. So that's Philippines and then Caramoan. Then you've got Colton and Blood versus Water and then Lindsay last season. So, and then you only have to go back, you know, to season 21 where there were, you know, two quits. And we talked to Naoka last week and then Purple Kelly Shin. So a lot of quitting there in a while in the span of Survivor, because the first – 7 seasons there were no quitters, and there were 2 more during All-Stars, and then not anybody till Palau, and then there's this huge window where, you know, nobody quit. You know, even Kathy, who also did the show, was more of a medical kind of situation.
Yeah. Cherry?
Yes.
Just from what Big Mike just said, it's because they've started giving them too many comfort items.
Well, and I totally agree with that. You know, I was so mad the year that they brought in the Sears toolbox. I just about, you can ask Paul, I just about flipped out.
Yes, the Sears toolbox has become famous on the Rad Reality Show.
I just about flipped out on that season. That was just too much. I mean, why don't you just go out there and build them a little cabin while you're out there?
Yeah, condominium or something, yeah.
Yeah, you know, put them up in a little hotel. I mean, make them pancakes for breakfast and give them, you know, down comforters and, I mean, for
back
real,
rubs
this is
a
Survivor.
And open bar, yeah.
Yeah. You feel me? I mean, this is Survivor. Cut it out. Dropping Sears toolboxes.
All right.
Come on, folks.
I got something I'm going to ask you, Big Mike. I know we've seen a lot of, it seems like we've seen a lot of people quitting, but it seems like every time somebody quits, we still end up with a tribal, and that kind of surprised me. I mean, Jeff got his time in, you know, interviewing everybody on the log, but have they done that very often where they actually cancel the tribal? I'm just not remembering, and I wanted to ask you if you recall.
Well, it depends. Some people, because they quit, then they don't need to have a tribal. Some people have quit right after tribal. And a few have quit at Tribal Council. When you think of the first quitter, Austin, he quit at Tribal Council. And did Naoka and Purple Kelly? I'm trying to recall. I've only seen Nicaragua once. I can't remember if they did it at Tribal right before. But
Cherry, what I was talking about is how often when people have quit, has there not been a tribal? And I seem to remember that it was at Tribal Naoka and Purple Kelly quit.
Janu too. So,
wow.
Usually the quit happens at either Tribal or at a challenge, because I'm also thinking of, you know, Colton quitting at the Challenge Arena. Sue Hawk quitting, you know, at a Challenge after what happened with Richard. The ones that quit at camp are pretty rare. So that's Lindsay.
Now, I haven't seen them send. Yeah, Lindsay did send for Jeff. Who else has sent for Jeff?
Dana and Julie.
Well, Dana was a medical. I don't know. I kind of see that as a medical.
Oh, yeah. I don't think medical, if you watch the episode, officially said we were taking out for medical reasons, but she was not feeling well, but it wasn't something where medical could be like, yeah, we got to pull you out. They said you can stay if you want to, and then she was in too much pain. So it's kind of a gray area for Dana's. So there's two different camps on that. I'm not sure exactly where I feel. I kind of would place her in the Sleckman category because sometimes people call Kathy a quitter, but I think there's more involved with that.
Well, we had to talk about that, I guess. We talked about the end of the show before we even talked about the beginning, but it was so much a part of that episode, it's like I wanted to get it out of my system too, and I think everybody just, you know, that's,
and it's frustrating to see how the, it's amazing how the cast will berate other cast members when they quit, but I'm friends with a lot of the cast, but if any fan says something that they don't like, they're like, you don't understand what it's like to be out there, which we don't, but it's funny to see the cast members, you know, tearing into the quitter, and then fans support them, and they're like, hey, you don't know what it's like. So it's that whole, like, family thing of, you know, I can make fun of my brother, but you can't make fun of my brother, or I'll, you know, punch in the face. It's like, they're protecting themselves, but, you know, you can see the frustration on the cast members, especially the older cast members, where, you know, many of them actually tried out for the show. Some of the people that haven't made it through the show, you know, a lot of the quitters, you know, were recruited, which is an interesting, you know, thing.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the fans feel like, you know, that's a spot that I could have been in, you know, so they get frustrated because, you know, they feel like possibly I could have made that, you know, spot if you weren't out there and quitting the game, you know. And so I can see where fans get upset.
And people, I know some people that have been in the mix that have, like, turned down Survivor, like, 2 and 3 times. These people that I know in L.A., and, like, the people, they've been begging them to come on the show. Like, you know, there's people that try out 25 times and they'll get picked, but they're, you know, they want this, you know, new model-looking person. They don't know what the show's about. Then they get up there and they don't do well, and either they get voted out early or they quit, or they don't get the game and they make crazy mistakes, which is probably fun for TV, but not fun for fans to watch.
People turn down going on Survivor?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of people that, the more of the recruited types that are just out there in L.A. I know a couple guys that I've seen at some of the parties that he's just talking to that, I thought they were with the show, like, maybe, you know, casting people or something. And they're just people hanging out that knew all the people that worked with the show and be like, yeah, they've tried to get me on the show for 3 years, and I don't want to do it. And it was just shocking. Some of these really crazy to me. Yeah, they were pretty people, and, you know, they looked like actors or models. And they're just like, yeah, they keep wanting me to do the show, and I don't want to do it. Which is strange to me. I know, and I've never applied, but I've got some friends that have been applying since season 2, and they put in a tape every cycle. You know, and some of them wouldn't be good on the show, but a couple of them would definitely be great on the show. They
that's
cast them and wants what they want. And
if
some people on the show, like, when... Oh, go ahead.
Somebody's been putting in a tape since season 2. And we're going on season 30.
Yep.
Wow.
Determination. That's dog determination there.
But people like Rick and Dawn and Leslie Neeseff, you know, they try a bunch of Jillian, and they eventually get picked. They, you know, the scenario is right, or they have a look they want. So, you know, if fans are listening, you know, don't be discouraged. At some point, you may be what they're looking for, just you may not be right now. So, you know, keep on trying.
Right.
But we'll get back to that. We can start for, we kind of did this backwards again just because something shocking happened, but we can start back at the beginning of the episode. You know, the merge was looming, and, you know, they did their quick recap. So we saw what happened there. Dale tries to play the idol. Doesn't work. They get back to camp, and boy, is Keith mad at, or, and he's just confused with people. He's like, what, you know, what's going on? What happened here?
Yeah, he was upset. And I can't really blame him.
Because I like whenever Keith makes a funny comment and then he spits on the ground because he's mad. I've never seen that with a cast member, and I think it's just a cute thing, and he does it on purpose now, like when he's mad about something. But he's like, you could have let me know. And he's like, what if Dale voted for me? Then it would have been a 3-3 tie. Like, that's true. And he's like, I don't want any more lying. He's like, we don't, and he also said we don't have to lie, you know, every other time. You won't have to keep doing that. So, but Missy's got a big pair of balls on her. She's like, hey Keith, we want to talk about what happened last night. Like they're trying to explain the whole thing to Keith, and he just, you know, their trust is broken now. And I think if they had handled that a little differently, they'd have numbers differently than they do now.
I'm glad that they merged and that Keith is now back with Wes.
For sure. And it was interesting, once the merge happens, the two people trying to get numbers were Jeremy and Josh. And they're who's going to get the numbers, who's going to, you know, have the control.
Yeah, this episode, I kind of made a note of it that it was really showing two main leader. I don't know what word to use for him, but it was basically Josh leading one side, and Jeremy they portrayed Josh and Jeremy as the ones that are, you know, that, you know, playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say?
Team Jeremy and Team Josh. It was, you know, who's going to join which team? And who they assumed would join each team, and they're both talking numbers, and they both, you know, Josh is like, we need to get Jeremy out, and Jeremy's like, we need to get Josh out, and they're both a threat. And everyone kind of fell in lockstep between, you know, one of those two parties. And it was interesting, John and Jacqueline were going to be the power couple again, the swing vote. They're, you know, there's different scenarios available, but they seem to be yet again the focal point.
Yep.
And I thought one of the
Jeremy was working hard.
Yeah.
He was working hard to get everybody, you know, gathered up, but I'm not sure it's going to work in his favor.
Yeah, with Julie doing what she did, that's a big number for him. And I think, you know, Keith and Wes and Josh and Reed were able to, I think, you know, John and Jacqueline seem pretty much on the couple's side.
The couple's side,
oh,
yeah.
Geez. I tell you, though, that happened a little later. I wrote this down. John's done this before where he's a flip-flopper. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And I want to like them because they do seem to be in a really strong position, but what I don't like is to see somebody changing, you know, and flip-flopping like John. And Julie tries to kind of temper it, but she ends up going along with him. I want to mention, before we get too far, because we talked about the merge, I was really disappointed with how they decided to come up with a new name. It's almost like they were picking, you know, these celebrity couples and combining, you know, two names together. And I thought that was really lame and not very creative.
The Bennifer or Romber or, you know, one of these. It's so cheap and cheesy. Even when, you know, I didn't like when Boston Rob took the drive into calling it Merlonio, but at least that was something different. Or when Malcolm tricked everyone to calling it his mom's name backwards. That's interesting. It's not just cramming two names together. That's just, you know, no one else has any ideas. They didn't. It's apparent that they didn't get any real prep on Nicaragua. And they didn't use any, you know, words from the area. They just like, and they even put a hashtag on the tribe flag. Like, what is happening to Survivor when that happens? We got to make sure we put a hashtag on the flag. The pound sign is on their tribe flag. Like, are we going to play tic-tac-toe on that? Or are we really, did some producer say, why don't you put a hashtag on it? Like,
I don't know. I want to ask both of you guys, you two, excuse me, Cherry. I can call you a guy. You obviously aren't. But, good. Oh, that's an inside. That's an inside comment. Anyway, how do you guys feel about Baylor? And basically, I mean, it's awfully tough when you're there with a parent. But were you kind of hoping that she would not go along with her mom?
I was definitely supporting that, and I did not like. I understand Missy's position. She's giving her good advice. She's being more mature. She made a great quote about, you know, Baylor. Sometimes she acts she's 20, and sometimes she acts like she's 30, and sometimes she acts like she's 10, and that's true. I wanted Baylor though to rebel. I like, you know, you were saying you didn't like John the flip flopper. I like Baylor because if she can flop back to the side I like, then I'll support it, which is not with her mom. I just don't like Missy.
Well, how did you feel, Cherry? I asked both of you, but
I kind of agree. I want to see Baylor sort of stand up and say, Mom, I think you should follow me. I can see what we need to do, and I think you're leading us wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
I think partially for me is kind of what you were talking about, Big Mike. It's hard to pick sides because some of my players that I like are on different sides, but it was almost like I wanted somebody to support Josh, you know? I was feeling like, He had a valid point. I mean, he saved her in the game, and, you know, and he was scrambling to get some, you know, numbers, and it wasn't going, you know, his way when she agrees to go do what her mom tells her, you know.
Yeah. And I hope she acts more like a 10-year-old and goes with Josh and, you know, doesn't – I can't imagine having a kid out there – and how I want them to do what I want them to do, but I think we could see a rebellion like, you know, Sierra last or two seasons ago. She made a move where she knew Laura had to go, and, you know, the right scenario, Baylor might be voting out Missy in her interesting bikini. So
that's kind of remembering that last Blood versus Water. That's why I really fell in love with her, I mean, in the first season. Because of her willingness to, you know, cut her mom, you know? She wanted to play the game.
Yeah, for sure. And we haven't seen the challenges. I don't know if, you know, Missy will be a challenge star like Laura. I think she's been pretty solid in the challenges from what I recall. I think she, because Tsunapu was doing so well, I, you don't have the, I don't have the stats right in front of me. I think she may have been sat out a few times just because they had such, you know, more athletic guys, and she was the older lady. But
well, she did go out second right after Jeremy, though.
Yeah, I have a tabulation there. I wrote that all down as it was happening because it was just – and I don't know. One thing, we haven't kind of gotten that far either, but did Jeremy throw that – did he throw that just because he didn't want to look like a threat? You know, he wants immunity, but I think he just had trouble balancing his ball.
I think so, too. I don't think he threw that. I really don't. I think he was kind of embarrassed, actually, that he went out first.
Yeah, he got beat by, he's like, I got beat by Julie. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was like, Missy was still out there. I was even beat by Julie, you know. I mean, he was, I think he was truly embarrassed that he was still, you know, that he went out first and all those people were still out there.
But it was neat. At least it looked like a, it was a, part of the challenges we've seen, but I don't think we've seen that in that incarnation before. So, you know, hats off to Kerhofer and the challenge producers that they're doing some unique challenges. It doesn't just feel like everything's getting repainted a different color and brought back. So that is, I do appreciate that.
I think the year, like you were talking, I know this is going back a little bit on your conversation, but I think the year that they gave the team name, the backwards mom name, was the best name for a tribe ever.
Yeah, Anil Adim or whatever.
Yeah, I think that was just the most unique name and creative name that anybody's ever come up with out there.
And
nobody
awesome.
Even knew it. Nobody figured it out. Nobody knew it until after the game was all over with, you know?
Yep, and how awesome for the mom, huh? At home. I mean,
yep.
Forever.
Yep.
And that was cool seeing that was being there out at Philippines and meeting Malcolm's crazy brother and seeing the mom and then watching that next season and seeing her on the flag. I was like, oh, that's cool. I know Madeline. I've seen her. I've talked to her. To see her on the flag. I like the from season 4 when Kathy and Rob were drinking all those beers and eating pizza and Rob just made up Soliantu, Sacred Allegiance to the Sun, and I think that was a straight up BS. They just, he just pulled that out of whatever. That wasn't even something real. They just made that merged tribe name up. So that's, I like that one a lot too.
How often, speaking of the merge again, how often, and I'm sure it does happen, but how often do the producers assign a camp?
I think they usually do, from what I can recall. Either the cast members determine it or the producers do. I'm going to try to run through real quick. Borneo, they chose. Sean and Jenna chose. I think in Australia they made them go to a whole new place. They didn't get to go to either camp. In Africa, I think they went back to Boron Camp, where you know, the yellow
three down,
tribe.
3 down, 22 to go. Are we really going to do this?
I think I can do it. I'll try to. I mean, it's going to fill the show. Marquesas, I think they went to row two. Thailand, they went to Chuigon because they were back in the cave full of pee. Amazon, I think that was a totally new camp. Somebody could check. We could have someone's on the message board. I don't know about Amazon.
You are a true fan. If you can, I mean, we try in Big Brother to remember, you know, all the house guests and the order that you went out, you know, and that can be impressive. We watched Ian do that when he was in the house, you know, starting from. But to remember where the merged tribes ended up, I'm impressed that you even knew that.
Well,
I know. That's amazing.
Scott from last week, when we're at the finales, when we're talking to him, when we meet the cast, he used to make me recite, like, Boot Order just to show off to other fans and the new cast, and they're like, wow, you guys are big fans, because up to season, like, 12, I can do Boot Order by Tib. I probably know where the cast are from, their luxury items, so, yeah, it's a dorky thing, but it's definitely something I have. But I say most of the time, I would say it's the camp that the dominant tribe prefers, or the better camp, or production makes them choose between the camps, or production just sends them to a totally new place.
I felt bad for the Coyolpa people that had to carry all their stuff up to the top of that hill and then carry it all back down. They probably thought, we could have just left it here.
That's what I was going to say. If I was Coyolpa, I would be mad that I just packed all my stuff up and lugged it all the way up that hill and then got to turn around and lug it all the way back again.
And did they let them keep the rice, your napu, I wonder? Like, all that rice they had to barter for? I wasn't watching for it, but did they get to keep all that stuff?
I think so.
I would assume so. I mean, the food is, like, the most important thing. I mean, we certainly had issues with food again in this episode. I'm sure they made sure to bring all that rice.
You know, the instructions told them to pack up everything and take it with them, so I'm sure they took their food.
Yeah, the merge feast was big because there was so much food. They're letting them take stuff back they usually don't. And the quote I wrote down is, Julie's talking to Missy, and she's like, I'm taking all this stuff back. And she's like, yeah, Julie, that's a good idea. That's a good call. And then Missy's leading the war party to kill Julie. She's the one that said, yeah, take everything back.
Yeah,
she's hoarding the nuts.
Like a squirrel. No, that certainly, I was really thinking that, you know, all the talk and it was about trying to get Jeremy or Josh out, you know, but it was so much controversy with Julie about the food that I was thinking, okay, well, maybe, you know, they're going to vote Julie out instead. And little did I know that there was not going to be a vote, but I was really, I mean, I'm really impressed with the handle of the game and what's going on and the strategy for both Josh and Jeremy. I mean, right now for me, those two are the strongest, you know, strategists.
For sure, and they're getting the best edit. They're getting the most prominent edits, too. So I think they're going to do well because they're both getting a lot of airtime and a lot of good talk, and they're building, you know, coalitions of people.
Right, and Josh could see right away, that, you know, with Missy and Baylor. I mean, Baylor, you know, he says to Baylor, are we good? And, you know, she responds, I think so. You know, it's like, what? No, she said, she says, as far as I know, we're good. And it's like, that's not the answer he was looking for. So then Josh switches gears and decides, hey, let's try to keep all the couples together. And he talks to John and totally throws Jeremy under the bus and says, you know, who do you think they're going to give money to, two successful Broadway actors or a fireman with two kids, you know? And it's like, that really resonated with John, you know? I think that kind of pushed John to switching loyalties. What do you think?
It is good logic. I saw a bunch of the survivors were getting in a fight on Ryan O'Prey's wall because he was saying, like, how disrespectful. And I'm like, I don't think that's what Jeremy or what Josh's intent was. Yeah, it wasn't Josh's intent. He's just saying, you know, we have a higher paying job that's more, you know, glitzy. What are they going to give us the money, or this fireman with kids that's working hard? And then Ryan O took it as this, like, big insult to firefighters. And I'm like, I'm not looking at my quote right now, but I was like, dude, he's just saying that it's the jury is going to be more likely to give him the money because it looks like he deserves it more than those guys. He's not demeaning firefighters. Like, of any profession, you know, there's controversies with police officers and there's teachers that are going around screwing kids. But aside from Backdraft, who are the bad firefighters? Like, I don't know of any.
No.
No, I agree. It never even crossed my mind thinking about that. I mean, it's a little bit early. You know, you normally see talk of that as you get near the end of the game about, you know, people looking at, well, this person already won $1 million, you know, on some of the All-Star games. I mean, if John Rocker was still there, I'm sure they would say, yeah, are they going to give the money to him, you know? So it's like, let's keep him longer because people aren't going to vote for him at the end. I thought it was a good move, a good attempt on Josh's part to, you know, sway somebody over, you know, numbers over to his side. So I thought that was a good move, and I didn't think he was being disrespectful. He was just trying to get
me. Me neither.
Yeah.
But Ryan, I was so mad, and I was getting a private message. I'm like, dude, like, you're they're not demeaning the firefighter. And, you know, John and Jack, what you were saying, they're very easily persuaded. And I think John had one of my favorite lines making fun of the, you know, Hayden and Kat thing. He's like, yeah, we both made the merge. I don't have to break up with you. And Jack went, and it was, he can be kind of a ditzy guy, but that was a really funny quote because, you know, and I don't want to, you know, I like Kat and I feel bad that she sincerely felt that would happen, and then it did happen. But, you know, for him to be like, yeah, we don't have to break up with each other, I found it really funny. And at least he's a fan and he's been watching the show.
They were together for quite a while before they actually broke up, though.
Yeah, they were.
Well, yeah, it was a later on down the road, but it goes back to the whole casting of the original Blood versus Water of, you know, certain people were only there to bring in other people. So, you know, if Kat's not dating Hayden, I don't think she's back on the first one.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I think she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I do too.
Yep.
So, I mean, the reaction of the tribe when John goes into Julie's bag and finds all the trail. I mean, the way they grabbed a handful and somebody else would grab a handful, it was like, you got to.
Well, they were like little rats going in.
Exactly.
And then one of the annoying ones that, you know, Alec is like, wow, I'd really like some trail mix. And he said that several times, you know, last time's what made Julie run off and, you know, want to grab Jeff Probst. It was like his offline comments are getting her ticked off.
Yeah, this all started before they went to the immunity challenge. I'm halfway expected, you know, that to come up during the immunity challenge, but after they came back and Alec made that comment, I love Julie, she says, and then I heard Alex punt butt say.
Yeah. And that's when Macy's leading the charge against her, like, I can't believe that. That's so disrespectful. That's so mean. That's so terrible. And I'm like, y'all could have brought more stuff back from the feast, too, and maybe you did and you ate yours.
I think they did. I think that's what Julie was saying. She said that, you know, everybody else already ate everything they brought back, and she basically, you know, sort of kept hers and
self-rationing.
Yep.
Right. She rationed hers, and now everybody's wondering where the trail mix is, and she's, you know, basically kept hers to a minimum and didn't just stuff it all in her face. And now they're all wanting hers. And she's like, you know, I'm not going to just throw it all out there for the heathens, you know? And I really couldn't blame her too much. I mean, she's the one that did ration, didn't eat it all up at once, and
it's food, though.
You know, then Alec comes up and starts bringing up the trail mix, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, here we go.
Yeah, but you know
what?
Well,
she saw what happened with the rice, so.
Yeah, you know what, Cherry? That is a show that you see over and over again. Food makes them crazy. The lack of food, they don't think rationally about that. She could have gained favor. I don't think she would have stayed in because she was just so miserable. But what if she had instead said, hey, everybody, look, I brought a bunch of trail mix back. She could have gained a lot of favor, don't you think?
Oh, sure. Or she could have picked, you know, maybe a couple.
Oh, yeah.
To share it with. And said, here, if you protect me, I'll share this. You know, I'm going to share this with you, but I want you to protect me. And, you know, just shared it with a couple and maybe had their protection.
That would have been smart.
And if they would have protected her and talked maybe another couple into, you know, by them protecting her, talked another couple into protecting her, she might have gone far. She could have used that to her advantage if she would have been smart and thought about it. How can
with
I use this little bit of trail mix as currency in this game?
And Missy knew she had it, so just butter up the old Unapus and just, hey guys, if you want some trail mix, I got it in my bag.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
but she could have gone to John and Jacqueline. She could have gone to, you know, Josh and Reed. She could have gone to, you know, Wes and Keith. She could have gone to any of them and said, I will share this with you, but I need you to promise me that you'll protect me and use that sort of as currency and, you know, agreement that you're going to protect me in this game further down the line and use that to sort of garner some sort of agreement. And, you know, it doesn't mean it's always going to hold water, but, you know, it's at least a try to save her butt. And
food
can be currency out there.
Oh,
and,
yep.
It's huge.
Yeah, so she could have used that in a much smarter way.
I agree.
And seen if she could have gotten a lot further in the game. Instead, she wound up keeping it all to herself, and it wound up being her demise. And
I agree. So I want to talk about the challenge because I know the result of it pleased you to no end, Terry. But we didn't see much.
I was happy.
We didn't see much of Natalie during the show, but I made note of it. She was the last woman in that challenge. I'm still a Natalie fan in this game.
Yep, she was eighth place.
But who won, Cherry?
Keith won the challenge. He won the first individual immunity.
I immediately thought about you because I know how much of a fan of Keith you are and hoping that he goes far. And I thought, oh, I know Cherry's happy with this result.
And I was almost hoping that he was going to give it up to Wes because it was his son's birthday. And I thought, go ahead and just give it to Wes. It's his birthday. But I was very proud that he went ahead and held on to it. And took it home and kept that, you know, that win. You know, I was teetering. I was like, in one way wanting him to, and in one way going, oh, go ahead, get it, Keith. You know, hang on to
it.
On one hand and kind of wishing to give it to Wes for his birthday and the other.
But Cherry, if you recall, they had two balls and they had a camera shot, you know, looks like Wes, Keith's ball is moving. You know, I don't think we know. You know, Keith might have done that if they had stayed longer, but both their balls were about ready to fall. So, he probably didn't even have the chance to make that decision.
Yeah.
Probably not.
And he can still give him immunity at tribal if he wants to. Just to be like,
well, that's
hey,
true.
They didn't get to go to tribal with the quit, so still happen. There's still possibility for it. Yeah, it was interesting how Keith forgot the birthday. And Josh had to, Josh was the one that was so in tune with the game that he's like, hey, happy birthday, Wes. And then Keith's like spitting on the ground like, oh, crap. I forgot his birthday. But he's like, here, enjoy a crab from your dad. Which, like, thanks, Dad. My dad gave me crabs for my birthday. It was kind of interesting. But Keith's a trip. I'm excited to meet the whole cast in about a month and a week. But, you know, Keith, I'm looking forward to Keith. I can't wait to see him. You know, John and Jacqueline are going to be cool. Seeing Kelly and Dale. Seeing everyone. I can't even wait to meet the 20s and Rocker and even Drew and Alec. Just because they're so different beyond the show.
True. True. You're going to have a blast.
Oh, for sure. And they finally released, there's a release date for the finale that was posted.
Yeah, I'm so
and it
jelly.
It'll be December 17th, Wednesday again. That was released by CBS, so something to watch out for the future. That it won't be on Sunday for a second time in a row. The final
That's
episode.
That's got to be the most fun thing in the world to attend.
It's even just going out to the party is fun. And then going to the taping just takes it to a whole other level because you never know who you'll run into in the studio, past cast members. You know, I went up to Cochrane, Parvati was there, and I said hi to her, you know, and just, you know, some people just show up. You know, Tyler Perry was there, so we got to say hey to Tyler Perry. And I wasn't there this season, but, like, Nicaragua, when Jimmy Johnson was on, you know, Terry Bradshaw and some of the guys from, you know, Fox.
Oh, cool.
Were there. I wasn't in the taping, but they were just in the studio, so they might have had different security, but you probably could have, if they're walking around and you're at the right place, you'd have been like, hey, Terry, nice to meet you. It probably would have, it could have happened.
Hey, Terry, you know who Terry Bradshaw is, right?
Yes, Paul.
Oh, you do? I'm sorry.
Tyler Perry is getting huge on the OWN network. He's got a boatload of shows on Oprah's network now. And
no, for those that don't get it, I always tease Cherry about not knowing anything about other sports.
I don't
other
know
than
football.
I know.
And I know your guy, what's his name? Peterson is
oh,
in
no,
big trouble.
Come on, that's not fair.
Well, my husband told me to say that, to tell you to shut up about the Rams. So stop it.
Yeah, the Rams beat the 49ers.
I don't remember his first name,
but
I know his last name was Peterson, so hush.
Well, I don't know much about sports because you're the Rams beat my 49ers, so... Nice job.
My Rams did?
Yeah, that's what
week.
I was...
The 49ers were supposed to win handily, and they lost. So,
that's
way to go, Rams.
That's what I was talking about on Manic Monday, Jerry. It was... Yeah, anyway.
My Rams never win. They're not my Rams.
They're winning this year.
Paul asked me if my team won, and I honestly didn't know. And he makes a fool out of me on the radio because I don't know whether they win or lose.
No, that was never my intent. You and I have this running joke coming. Now, don't make me sound like a bad guy. That's not fair.
Well, I just don't know because I never pay attention. I live here in St. Louis, and I never know whether the Rams win or lose.
I know.
Oh, my God, that guy's flipbook just made it on TV.
Huh? What?
What?
I have to tell the story. On Twitter, there's this guy that makes this, it's called a flipbook. He does like a cartoon drawing, and when you flip this book, it actually does a moving picture.
Right.
Of this, and he makes these flip books. He even does custom ones, but he did one of the Tarasenko goal the other night. And they just played it on TV during the hockey game. And I tweeted it the other night on Twitter, last night I think it was. And this guy, I'd never seen one before. I'd never seen a flip book like this before. And when I saw it, I was so amazed by it. I went and checked out his website YouTube. And on YouTube, he's got all these amazing flip books. He's got one for proposals in Las Vegas. He's got some of the most amazing drawings and amazing flip books I've ever seen. And they just played his flip book on TV during the
hockey broadcast. I think I remember as a little kid. I was somewhat fascinated by that and tried to make some of my own, you know, with little stick figures. Those are fun. Anyway, how did we get to
I don't know.
I'm not really sure.
We are way off subject there.
Well, all right. I'll bring us back. So we end up with Jeff and Julie off. Oh, I have a question. There must be something going on in the background that Jeremy is learning, you know, is being told something is not going well with his alliance, because he was so upset with Julie leaving because of numbers. But what I had written down was it was John and Jacqueline, Missy and Baylor, Jeremy and Natalie, there's six right there, and Julie made seven. And unless he was told something different, he still has the numbers with Julie leaving. They would have six people to five. So
yeah, so unless he knew John and Jacqueline had jumped, maybe somehow a producer had tipped him off to that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if somebody actually told him, we're no longer, you know, with you guys, and that hurt his numbers. But if he thought his alliance was still intact, losing Julie shouldn't have upset him that much, because they still would have had the numbers.
Yeah. I think Julie leaving Andy kind of getting the wind of John and Jacqueline, which the promo's saying that, you know, there's something else that could happen that flips them back, flip and flop. Back over, because I think Jacqueline's going to get annoyed with the guys. But I think Jeremy was most upset because it looked like they had turned on him. Because he said in the first confessional, he's like, my first opinion of John and Jacqueline was this, which makes me think that happened later in the show, and they just showed her where they did, because he said my first impression from them was that they were going to work with me. Which makes me think that was part of a confessional later where he was talking about now they're not working with me. Did you notice how he said that it was like my first impression of them was, which my brain made me think that he was having a different opinion.
Yeah, I that's a good point. But I did think it was, like we talked about, or I talked about at the beginning, no tribal, but I thought it was interesting that Jeff still had his interview, you know, moment still on the beach like that, which was kind of cool. Had them all sitting on that log. It was almost like that log was put there just for for them
to come out and sit on.
Yeah.
Well, one of my friends that does he works for a website, said in the exit interview, Julie said production was really pressing her to, if she's going to quit, and do it then, because they're about to start the jury, and because of the precedent set with Nayanka and Purple Kelly, that I don't think quitters can now ever be on the jury. That's why usually quitters quit sooner than jury, but I think that's why they wanted her to, you know, make her decision. A, she couldn't be with Rocker if she did it any later because they're different places, and then they didn't want to quit her to be on the jury.
Yeah. Well, I'm really with the next week on Survivor peek into, you know, what's going to happen next week.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, it's a good hook to wonder what the guys did. Because it's I was just going to say, apparently it's not just, you know, Alec and, you know, Wes or whoever you want to pick. It, you know, the way Missy talked, she said, this is the most chauvinistic group of men I've ever met, you know. And it was like the whole group of men, because there's seven men left and only four women. So who is she talking about?
And Jack doesn't even seem to be upset.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what, because they didn't show Natalie or Baylor, I don't think. But, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if something around camp or I have no idea what the men are going to be chauvinistic about. It's unfortunate, but or maybe it's just something gross that bothers. I don't know what it's going to be.
I say it's either one of two things. I say it's either regarding the cooking of the food or it's about the challenges, one of the two.
You know, it just popped into my head, Cherry. We talked about how important food is a little bit ago. I bet you it has something to do with food. I agree.
Maybe they're eating more rice than even Misty, and that makes her mad. Like, you chauvinist, I'm the one that eats the most rice at this damn beach, not you. Just because you're a guy doesn't mean you should have more rice than me. Or she's on her seventh helping.
All right, here's a speculative thing that we can discuss. We saw in next week on Survivor that there's a little tiff between John and Jacqueline. Who between the two of them is going to win over? Because John, his final comment was, Jacqueline's not on the same page as I am. So is he going to side with her or is she going to side with him? What's your opinions?
Mom's not happy. Nobody's happy.
I don't know, because I think Baylor had betrayed. I'm trying to remember it. I'm trying to think. Because when they worked with them, when they worked with Baylor and Missy over Kelly and Dale, I think they had both been betrayed before and they both were cool with it. So I think John is going to talk Jacqueline into working with what he wants to do.
I think that might be true, but I'm just, because John has flip-flopped around, I'm kind of wishing that Jacqueline wins whatever argument they appear to be having. I'm pulling for her.
Well, I think she'd be more likely to join Missy for some reason, and I don't want that to happen. So we'll agree to disagree on that.
You make a good point
Jacqueline's
there.
I
normally would pull for Jacqueline myself, but you make a good point in the fact that she might go for Missy's side, and I'm not sure that's
so
the greatest thing.
Do we have an official villain now as of this past episode? Is Missy the official villain of this season?
She could be. We haven't had a villainess in a while. The villain's Julie. She's a food hoarding quitter, so, but she's gone now, so I don't know. I think they might just have pinpoint Jeremy as a villain, depending on who gets numbers.
Well, I think Rocker was initially the villain, and then it became Alex's brother's name?
Drew.
And
good. I forgot. Yep.
And now we have Missy.
Do you know what it was, Cherry? I'm getting my shows mixed up. The Amazing Race always has a villain team, and we really don't see one yet. So that's kind of, I think, must have entered my mind. But, I don't think there's a lot of Missy fans right now.
Well, I think on our group, I think they tried to make the villain team on The Amazing Race, Keith and Whitney from Survivor, from what people were posting with them, but I liked Keith and Whitney.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with them. I didn't see them really as villains.
I think now, the Dynasty could be down the road. They seem pretty intense people.
Yeah,
the dentist.
Think it's anybody. Yeah.
They may think they wear halos, but in our eyes, they don't.
Yeah.
And the way they put that sparkle on their teeth when they smile, it drives me insane.
And a little sound effect.
It drives me crazy.
And a little sound effect. Ding!
I just can't take that.
I'm pulling up the guy just to make sure. Jim, the dentist, just friended me on Facebook. And it just even the profile pictures and the pictures are just, like, his main profile pic is just seeing his wife. It's just, I don't know if you, are you guys friends with him on Facebook?
No.
Well, just look up Jim Ramen, J-I-M space R-A-M-A-N, and it's just, the pictures are just intense. Even every picture when they, the screenshots, when they show the show, he's just is so intense in all his pictures. Pretty crazy. But this isn't an Amazing Race show for any reason. I don't know if they, he may have tried out for Survivor and then they said, hey, we'd rather you're on the race. Who can go with you? I'm going through my notes to make sure there are a couple good quotes that I don't think we covered that I'm running through to check.
That's really funny. Their pictures are, and they're funny. I mean, unbelievable.
We didn't. Did we talk about the reason Julie quit? The main reason besides wanted to see John and all that. She didn't want to be Missy's puppet, and she didn't want to do it just to help out the other people. And I hate quitting, but because she quit in that fashion, I applauded that to not just, oh, please stick around and help our alliance. She's just like, screw you, I'm going, I'm quitting.
Yeah, Missy was like, can you just not do it tonight? We need you.
If you quit tomorrow, that'd be great. Like, it was like Lumberg from Office Space. Like, it'd be great if you'd come to Tribal Council on Saturday. And, we're going to need you on Sunday, too. Like, you know, Julie's like, no, it's Friday at 5 p.m. I'm quitting, so good luck on Saturday because I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
And I hate quitters, but I liked that, where she wasn't just going around just doing what she was told. She was thinking for herself. Just
yeah,
she had to
I
quit
mean,
while she did it.
At least she didn't, you know, allow herself to be used for, you know, their purpose. And then walk out. She left on her own will, and for her own reasons. And
Missy was going for it. She's like, "I'm your loved one." Like, no, Missy, your loved one's Baylor. Like, you're not Julie's loved one. I mean, I appreciate hard gameplay too, but it's just, you know, she's just pushing it a little too hard. What if Baylor had heard that? Like, no, I'm your loved one. Like, Mom!
Mom!
And then there was earlier quote that I went back and saw that I remembered where they were talking, Missy had a confession when she was relating to the divorce. You know, she wanted some redemption from all the divorces on Survivor. And I was like, and it was from this episode. And I was just like, that's kind of weird. I mean, I understand what she's saying, but I find that kind of a strange quote.
Yeah, the conversation between Missy and Baylor early on, with the merge, I wrote down the quote when Missy tells Baylor, "It's a game. Suck it up."
Yeah.
And then she says to Baylor, "Just if somebody asks you, just say I need to talk to my mommy or my mom."
Yes, and then Missy can pull off at the final tribal. Yeah, I told Baylor what to do. I basically told her how to play her game.
Bill on a chat room makes a good point. He said that he thought that Jeff went easy on Julie, and I have to agree with that. I think Jeff was really easy on Julie as well.
It reminds me of Lindsay's quit.
Yeah, Cherry, you're right. He's normally
been much harder on many other people.
Oh, my God,
people.
Yeah.
If you look at all the other quitters, yeah, he's browbeating them and yelling at them. And, like, Nyanka and Kelly got it hard. Austin, he threw his torch on the ground. Janu, you know, they're arguing back and forth forever. You know, Sue, when she flips out on him at that challenge, he still doesn't even know what to say. But, you know, Lindsay and Julie were both just kind of like, oh, yeah, we understand you're going to beat Trish's ass, or... oh, yeah, you missed John. It's been 3 weeks. Okay. Like, I didn't get... Maybe they wanted her to quit. Maybe she didn't want her to be on the jury. I don't know.
It just seems
awfully really good,
easy. And it doesn't need to be that easy when you quit.
Yep.
Speaking of...
You should fear the wrath of Jeff Probst when you're thinking about quitting.
Absolutely.
Fear the wrath of Jeff Probst when you're thinking about quitting out there in Survivor Land.
I agree. Let's go back to our speculation about what the tribe would have to give up for Rice. I don't know if you guys talked about it before, but that was a little bit easier than we were all guessing, wasn't it? We thought he would be a lot harder on them, too. Is he getting soft, Jerry?
I don't know.
It was softer.
He's easing up on him a little bit.
One thing that surprised me with food... well, it was funny, the reaction to the whole merge feast from John. I wrote down his quote being pretty funny, how excited he was about all that stuff. But there was no third idol discussed, or no hidden idol, no clues for any more idols. And it's been pretty idol heavy, so I was surprised that there wasn't something with an idol.
Well, at the time, I would have agreed with you, but finding out what the outcome that she quit and there was no tribal, they really didn't need to, talk about that in this episode.
Do you think they was a clue and somebody found something and they just didn't show it?
Oh, I thought you were just talking about Keith and his idol.
Not Keith's idol, I mean like a third idol, because Rocker's idol was wasted when he got voted out. Keith has his. But I was surprised there wasn't another idol at the merge feast or a clue.
Oh, that's right. They do put clues in.
Yeah, they usually always put one in with a feast.
Maybe it was in Missy. She said on Julie's trail mix and she didn't see it. But that was something I was really surprised, because there's been so much idol action that there's not been another idol in play. That they're just letting Keith kind of hold on to his.
I wonder if it wasn't on the back of that piece of paper that the bandanas were wrapped in.
And it could have been. Maybe no one saw it.
It's still sitting back in the reward arena, huh?
Or maybe Baylor did find it when she passed out all the bandanas. And
then she kept it.
And she kept
I was wondering where Julie got that extra buff. She was wearing one on her head and one on her rack. And it wasn't the old Hunapu buff. She had two. Who what is it? Huayopa, the new tribe name.
Huayopa.
They look like the same color buff to me, so I don't know whose buff she's wearing, but wasn't sure.
Interesting.
Do they have? Are they just colored, or they don't have the buffs? Don't have the tribe names on them, do they?
Since Heroes versus Villains, the pre-merged tribes all have the names on them. It's the merged tribes they don't have the name for. So I haven't bought the new buffs for this season, but it should be Huayopa and Hunapu, and then the merged tribe will just be green, and there won't be anything in that space. That started with Heroes versus Villains.
There's something I didn't know again.
Yeah, so like last season, I'm going to brain fart on the tribe names, but whatever they were on there, and then the merge wasn't. And that's been the same since Heroes versus Villains.
I chatted with a survivor today, one of my favorites. And got a little news. Miss Sugar.
Okay.
And she is in love.
Yay. With me?
With Randy Bailey?
With Ben Holder, Boom Boom Room?
No. She seems so happy. I'm so happy for her.
Oh, I love
She's
love
her
Sugar.
Sweetheart.
It's not JT again, is it?
I adore her.
Did anybody we know, Cherry, or did she say?
I don't think it's anybody we know.
Okay.
But she sure sounds happy.
Well, I'm glad she's doing well.
Yeah. We chatted for a little while today, and kind of surprised she remembered me because it's been a while since I was with her. I asked her if she remembered me all the way back to the Vegas Bash. She actually autographed a pair of her tights for me. I won the Survivor package and at the Vegas Bash, and she took off a pair of her tights from the night before and put them inside the Vegas Bash bag, and she autographed them for me very carefully. And put A Wild Night in Vegas and put them to me and put her name and the date and Vegas Bash on the top of them and everything. And, of course, they burned in my house fire. And so she asked me, how I was and how everything was going, and I said, I'm doing fine. I said, unfortunately, I don't have all the items that I had from the Survivor package that I won that night. I said, I told her that my house burned down. And so she did ask for my address today and said she was going to send me something. So that's really sweet of her to think about replacing, something that I lost. So Survivor's... reality stars are so sweet. It's just been such
a journey for
me.
To also talk about how sweet she is, that was one phone call that she called Ron when he was in the hospital, and it was like Ron chased his nurses out or something. Remember that? I got a call from Sugar. You're going to have to wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
She called Ron in the hospital when he was so bad in the hospital. And, that put a smile on Ron's face like nobody could.
Absolutely.
And he was in a place at that point where he needed that so bad.
It was perfect timing.
I'll always be grateful to her for that.
Yeah.
That girl's just got a great big huge heart in her body, and that little bitty body of hers.
pretty body for sure, yeah.
Yeah, but, she's
a
gorgeous girl.
Sugar invited me to the Heroes versus Villains finale, so that was the first time a cast member invited me to one, so that was a great experience, and it was fun meeting her family.
Her out.
So she's great.
Aw, she is a sweetheart. She is a doll.
And I'm glad she and Randy have reconciled.
Person.
Yeah.
Really?
I know, right? Then I've got one of my last, if you go to my profile pictures, I forget which finale it was, that one of the LA ones, I've got a picture with, you know, with Randy and Sugar, and then, you know, Randy's kidding around in the picture, and they're friendly, and it's just cute. I think he kisses her or does something weird, or she kisses him, or...
That's great.
Now, her and Corinne aren't friendly for sure, but Randy and Sugar are, so...
I'm glad to hear that. It's always good to hear, you know, that there's reconciliation, you know, when there's been bad blood and, you know, over a game, it's just not worth it, you know?
Yeah. And hopefully, I know there's been some tension this season, but I'm looking forward to a, you know, drama-free finale. It was, you know, Cagayan, there was some drama, and there was some drama, I think, in Blood versus Water. Philippines was very dramatic. It was basically RC versus everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
One World was, as much tension as they had on the show, they were very friendly with each other in person and very friendly with the fans. So that surprised me because there was so much drama.
Anytime Russell Hans was there, I'm sure there was drama.
Oh, he was, for Kim Owen, he was banned from the hotel.
That sounds like him.
he and Brandon were fighting with Philip on Twitter, so I lost my phone charger, went to security, and on the wall is a picture of Russell Hans that says, "Do not let this man on the premises," and it was just shocking to see. And if it wasn't security, I would have taken a picture of it and
like the FBI's
put it all over
wanted,
Facebook.
Like a wanted poster, huh?
And there was a picture from another Survivor finale because he was wearing like a nice dressier shirt and a nice hat. So it was amazing.
I couldn't even begin to tell you some of the stories that guy told me at a Vegas bash, waiting
he's
for an elevator on the top floor.
He's,
I do, too. I adore him. I've been at more events with Russell than I can count. And
he's a fun guy, for sure.
Oh,
when
my gosh.
I was doing the show, he was one of the first ones to say, just let me know. So I think I'm trying to get a Hans show together with as many Hanses as we can get on the phone.
We can get all four of them. I almost guarantee it.
Oh, Sean,
I almost
too?
Guarantee we can get,
yes.
I can get Sean and Willie.
Yep.
Russell's on board, and we just got to make sure Brandon's in a good state of mind, so.
Well.
Yeah, we can do it. I know Willie will come on with me, and I can get Sean.
Just know that we won't be able to talk much when the four of them are on. It's hilarious.
We've done it once before. The train's flying down the rail, so.
We've had all four of them on once before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was a blast. It was nuts. We had a Hans family reunion type show on once before, and it was crazy. But, yeah, we can do that. That would be so much fun to do again.
Round two.
Yes, let's do it.
Because Willie Hans was the first Hans I met, which was, it's
I've
crazy.
Been at
it was that...
With all of them. I've been at events with Russell and Willie and Sean and Brandon. I've met all four of them, and I love each and every one of them to pieces. And
Cherry, check what Phil just said. it would be a disclaimer night.
Yeah, we'll throw up our disclaimer. Have you heard our disclaimer yet, Mike?
No, I haven't heard it.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to do this for you. Here, listen up. This is so funny. Listen to this, Mike.
The views expressed by guests and callers of the Rad Reality Show are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required and batteries are not included.
There you go. I covered your whatever, so.
That's
our disclaimer. For next week and try for that. Because Katie's pretty solid for next week. I'm just going to confirm that, but maybe the show before Thanksgiving. Have that Hans extravaganza because I don't think we're gonna
family reunion.
Yeah, I don't. We're not taping on certain Thanksgiving, are we?
No.
No.
So maybe right before that or right after, get the Hans train going. I can talk to Russell and Brandon.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We've done that before, and it's a fun time, I'll tell you. It's a blast.
Because I've never met Sean. I'd like to meet Sean sometime. I've never talked to Sean, but.
I met him in Kentucky a couple times, and he had Brandon there with him, and it was a blast. We just had a lot of fun.
Well, I don't want to jinx it, but we only have 3 minutes left, and I'm on my original.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
You didn't drop off tonight, Mike. What's going on?
That's what I was going to say, and I've got 3 minutes to go, and now my phone's going to be like. But if I make it to the normal hour and a half, it'll be unprecedented that for some reason my phone didn't want to flip out, but it'll probably cut out at 11:29.
Hey,
I want to mention we had a guy that's helped us with the shows for many years now. His name is Thomas. His mom passed away this morning. And so I'm going to be sending flowers to the funeral home. And if anybody would like to sign the card or help out anyway, that would be great. But I am going to go ahead and send flowers. Thomas has helped us with getting guests and, you know, casting for the show and helping in many ways for the show for many years. And he's been a long-time fan and friend of the show, and it's
his chat
something
name,
that
Carrie.
We really need to do. I just ask that, you know, everybody please say prayers for Thomas and his family at this time. I know that, you know, his mom had Alzheimer's and she was in the hospital, and it wasn't something totally unexpected, but you're never totally prepared for something like this. When it happens, it's hard. And
I'm just piping in here because we know him as Thomas, but in the chat room and on Twitter.
It's Face One.
Face Ones, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a very great guy, and he means so much to us. He's a very dear friend of many of us. And so I just wanted to mention that before we go.
Well, thoughts and prayers to Thomas for sure and his family.
Yeah, it's a very difficult time. And just, you know, we have a very close sort of Rad Reality family, and a lot of us have been coming to the show for many years, so a lot of us know each other, and it's sort of a family atmosphere, and just wanted to mention that we have podcast listeners that listen after the show is over, and some may not know that this happened yet, so to those people who know Thomas, just know that his mom has passed, and I'll be sending a card, so get with me on Facebook or whatever. If you want to sign the card, I'll add your name. You don't have to pitch in money to add your name. I am going to send flowers. So if you want your name on the card, just get with me on Facebook and let me know you want your name on the card, and I will add it. So, well, we've had another good, fun night talking about Survivor.
San Juan del Sur tonight, and I look forward to next week as well. And especially if we get this pants train going, that will be a boatload of fun. But it's always fun with Big Mike here, no matter who we have on with us. Big Mike knows so much about Survivor, and it's always fun listening to him pull out these statistics and rattle them off like the, like they're nothing. It amazes me how much you know about Survivor, and I'm so happy to have you with us, Mike.
We will be
posting more about who will be with us next week. Just keep an eye on Facebook and Twitter, and I'll let you know whether we've got this put together for the Hanses or whether Katie will be joining us or what's going on for next week. But we'll be here one way or the other with Mike on the mic, with Big Mike Albright, and talking about Survivor San Juan del Sur. Tomorrow night we're going to be talking about the amazing race and the second pit stop with Mary and David Conley, and I'm not sure if they have a guest yet or not, but I'll let you know on Facebook and Twitter tomorrow. That show starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and then back here again on Monday with Manic Monday Show with Michelle Costa. That's 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and she's got Spencer, Big Brother 16, joining us. So make sure
15,
you hear that.
15. 15.
I'm sorry, 15. Gosh.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Big Brother 15. And then we're back here again next Thursday. So I'm going to wrap this one up with Ron, as we always do, our founder of this show, whom we love and miss dearly. Mike, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I know you had to sort of rush in to join us tonight, and you made it on time. So thank you so much.
Thank you, and my phone did it, so yay to my phone.
Yay, a whole night. First time.
It's like running the triathlon and made it, so.
Well, maybe it's going to start a new trend.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, Humwalt. Thanks again for everything you do for us, and we'll see you back here on Thursday. I'm going to wrap it up for us tonight. Please remember Thomas in your prayers, and come back and join us tomorrow night. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Here's Ron to take us out. Good night, y'all.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
Everybody say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.